University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices. Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Before we continue with our program, we need to keep you abreast of some breaking news coming out of Nice, France. There are reports that at least 73 people have been killed when a truck rammed a crowd. The driver was shot and killed. This was during a Bastille Day celebration. Again, some 73 people killed and more than 100 injured because of a truck ramming a crowd during a Bastille Day celebration. Of course, we will keep you abreast of anything, any developments beyond this very moment. And, of course, we will keep you abreast tomorrow during the Steve Harvey Morning Show with Taylor Thomas. I want to get back to our discussion about healthy skin during the hot summer months. More of your phone calls at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Nakia calling from Largo. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, I'm just trying to find out. I have, folliculitis, and I noticed that it kind of flares up in the summertime. I'm just trying to find out what would be good to use to moisturize and cleanse without having breakout.
What is folliculitis?
So folliculitis is a skin condition where you get bacteria inside of the hair follicles. And people with curly hair, so, you know, people of African descent, are especially prone to this around the beard area. We call it razor bumps. We call it pseudofolliculitis barbae if they're razor bumps. So you can get that in the bikini area if you're women. You can also get it in the beard area if you're men. But if you have just bumps on the arms and legs, we just call it folliculitis. Now, this is a condition that I would recommend having treated at a dermatologist's office just because there are prescription medications that are quite effective at treating them, especially for people who cannot avoid either plucking the hairs or shaving the hairs. And I actually, I think this is a very important issue that a lot of dermatologists don't necessarily talk about. And I have a hair book coming out soon, and we really go into depth into how to treat this issue. As far as how to make it better in the summertime, certainly using antibacterial soaps or face washes can help just get rid of the bacteria that's living on your skin so they're less likely to cause the bumps.
I'm wondering, because a lot of times when you hear about razor bumps or ingrown hairs, you usually are talking about men, but women have this issue also in their faces?
Absolutely. They absolutely do. And it's unfortunate because many of them will want to cover it up instead of clearing it up. And they spend all kinds of dollars on potions and foundations and things like that. And it's all over their clothing and it's all over everything, when really at the time and money should be spent on trying to clear it up. And so, like Dr. Agu said, it's very important that you visit your dermatologist so that you can get those creams and those things to remedy those issues.
Okay. One other thing about the ingrown hairs. I used to have them. I don't know whether or not I've grown out of them. I don't have them anymore. But there was a time when I would have someone take a sewing needle and pull the hairs out. Is that recommended?
It's not recommended. It works, but I wouldn't recommend it just because doing something like that, taking a needle to your skin, is traumatic to your skin. And so even if you pull the hair out, it can leave a dark mark behind, because our skin, just like when you get a bug bite, if our skin gets injured, it becomes darker, and that dark spot can last for months.
Okay. Nakia, thank you so much for your phone call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sarah, calling from Waldorf, Maryland. Sarah, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I was wondering, do cellulite creams work, the ones you can buy off the shelf?
What is a cellulite cream, Dr. Agu, first of all?
We agree on
everything. That's so funny.
So a cellulite cream is a cream that someone has developed to make a lot of money. But, as women, so our fat cells are different than men. okay? And there's literally nothing that you can do to prevent cellulite if you are a woman. There's no cream that's really going to get rid of it. And I think it's just one of the many beautiful parts of being a woman. And I think we just have to own it.
Well, tell me something, because, you know, often I've seen women who have, you know, cellulite issues. They are usually on the more heavy side. But can women that are more athletic have cellulite, or is that just something that's an issue for full figured women?
It's an issue for all women. It can be. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be. It's not always, but it doesn't matter your size or your shape or anything like that. It just depends on the elasticity of the skin and how the skin kind of how it responds to weight loss and weight gain. For women who have children, you know, you tend to gain weight. And then when you lose your weight back again, you could be a size 2 and still have some cellulite. So there are some surgical procedures that you can do if you go to your cosmetic surgeons, and they have lots of treatments and things that they actually do to remedy the cellulite. But, you know, the creams, they just kind of smooth over, and then you find that a few months later it's back.
Right. Okay. And certainly if you have more fat and you have more fat cells, then the cellulite can look more obvious. But it doesn't matter if you're a size 0. You know, almost
can
still
have
it.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sarah, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Wendy calling from Woodbridge, Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. So my question is for sunscreens for African-American people. My son is an athlete, and he is out in the very broad of the heat during the day. And we use sunscreen, but my question is there a particular sunscreen or a brand of sunscreen that is available either over the counter or wherever that we could use to lessen the possibility of, I know we're going to tan, but just so that we're not out there burning, so to speak.
Does your son burn when he's outdoors? Is he fair?
Well, no, he's not. He's not fair at all. And he doesn't burn, but when I say burn, I mean as far as tanning. Like, he can go to football practice at 2. I can pick him up at 4, and he's already at least 3 shades darker.
Well, generally, as far as sunscreen recommendations, I usually tell people at least an SPF of 30, and then you want the bottle to say broad spectrum. Broad spectrum means that it's covering the 2 major types of sun rays, UVA and UVB. UVA is present year-round. UVB is mostly present in the summertime. So especially this time of year, you want it to say broad spectrum. It is so easy for brown skin to tan that it's really, really difficult to eliminate it completely. But if you feel like he's getting so tanned that you're doubting how good of coverage you have, then what you really want to do is reapply it every 2 hours, especially if he's sweating a lot. And if he is sweating a lot, or if he's a swimmer or anything like that, then you want to use a waterproof sunscreen as well. So waterproof, SPF 30, broad spectrum.
Okay. Taylor, thank you for your phone call. Wendy, thank you for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Taylor, calling from Bowie. What's on your mind?
Hi. I was calling to find, I heard the answer in reference to the sensitive skin and sunscreen, but is that the same for those of us that are allergic to anything with SPF in it?
Yes.
So I haven't been using any sunscreen at all because I'm allergic to, I'm allergic to things with SPF in it, and I've tried, like, I guess all natural things or...
Okay. Just to clarify, SPF stands for sun protection factor, and it relates to how long you can stay outdoors before you get burned compared to if you didn't use that sunscreen at all. Okay. So the SPF is just a metric, but the chemical sunscreens are the ones that cause allergies. Particularly, there's an ingredient called avobenzone. It's the most common ingredient in sunscreen. It's also the most common ingredient to cause an allergy to sunscreen. So if you do get allergies, what you do want to focus on are those 3 ingredients that I mentioned, the ferric oxide, the titanium dioxide, and zinc oxide.
Okay.
Taylor, thank you so much for calling. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I want to ask him about techniques for applying makeup during the summer months. And this may have more to do with just how you want to look as opposed to the heat and humidity. Talk to me a little bit about highlighting, contouring, and matte lipstick. I will, full disclosure, this is not my question. Okay. one of our beautiful and intelligent interns told me to ask, so I'm going to throw it out there.
You got to throw it out there. Yeah. So I have this philosophy about makeup in the summertime that you want to gravitate to products that are long lasting. So when it heats up, you got to switch it up. And so when I say that, I mean you have to switch up the type of product that you're using. And so I gravitate to products that are long-lasting, like 18-hour lip stays or long-lasting foundations or gel liners and liquid liners as opposed to wax pencils. Or perhaps you might want to use things that have a mineral powder, like mineral powders are going to work really well. A lot of times women want to put on less because they feel like it's just too much. So if you are that woman, I also really, really love tinted moisturizers. Tinted moisturizers are great because you're going to get a 3-for-1 for your buck. So you're going to get a little bit of coverage. You're going to get some sun protection because they typically have an SPF. And then you're going to get the moisture that's needed on the skin because for whatever reason, people think that they want to strip that oil off the skin, which is a no-no. And I know Dr. Gu agrees with me that some moisture is good for the skin because it serves as a protection to the face. So what you tell your pores when you strip those pores is that, oh, my God, you know, your skin is saying, oh, my God, I have to reproduce more because your glands are like, I need to protect. So your body is so amazing because if you strip those pores of that oil, like putting alcohol and things like that on your skin so you feel dry, then what you're doing is you're going to cause your sebaceous glands to be overactive. So you want to make sure you're not doing that. As it relates to contouring and highlighting and shading,
Which is because, again, I'm repeating what my dear intern said, so I have no idea what
Well, everybody's into the contour and shading, which looks really great because for years and years and years, women were wearing makeup and they were looking, as we say, casket ready. So what contouring and shading actually helps to do is to give the face dimension. So it makes the nose look smaller. It makes the cheeks look broader. It's going to make you look highlighted in certain areas like down your nose or on the cheek where you have the apple of the cheek is going to look really refreshed and wonderful. I love women that wear blush because they just look so beautiful. And so that's going to be really, really key when you're highlighting and contouring, just kind of knowing where the placement goes. And that's something that you really can't talk about on the radio because you have to show it.
Right.
But it definitely is fun and it's effective, and you want to get a color 2 shades lighter to highlight and 2 shades darker to contour, and then your actual color. So you're going to need 3 colors, essentially, to be able to achieve this. And when I say 3 colors, 3 color foundations and 3 color powders. So you got 6 products sitting in front of you to achieve this look.
Wow.
And so, but it is a lot of times they come in kits. So you'll have a kit that'll have a lighter color that's a little lighter than you, than your actual color, and then one that's a few shades darker. And so it's just about placement. It's really a lot of fun. I love when women ask this question because I love the fact that women kind of want to, you know, get into it because that, you know, makes my job a lot easier. But it definitely is something that women are gravitating to. And so I definitely suggest getting those little kits. We have a great kit at Wink and Pout.
Okay.
I have a fabulous kit at Wink and Pout by KimLee.com. It's a highlighting and shading kit, and it actually allows you to be able to put on those highlights and be able to shade those cheeks.
Okay. Listen, I need to take a break. I just thought about it. Wink and Pout. That's kind of like the duck lip selfie that a lot of the ladies do, the pouting the lips and, you know, yeah, I get it. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a bit talking about healthy skin, beautiful faces, even during the hot and humid summer months. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about keeping your skin healthy, keeping your face beautiful even during the hot and humid summer months. Lines are still open if you have a question. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Agu, you had a question for Kim, so go right ahead.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about highlighting and contouring, and I was told at a makeup store that people with brown skin should only use liquid formulations, like foundations, really to highlight and contour, and that they shouldn't use anything that's powder-based. Is that true?
That's very untrue. You can use a liquid form, but it depends on the skin type.
Okay.
It has absolutely nothing to do with the skin tone. So I definitely like the layering, because the layering, you're going to get more bang for your buck. So if you are going to do a cream-based foundation to contour or a liquid foundation to contour, you need to set it with something. And so you need to set it with a powder and then spray it. So I actually do a whole formulation of that. And it is really good to use a beauty blender. I love a damp beauty blender, because that's going to actually marry the foundation to the face and make you look like you just look dimensional. You don't look, like I said, like you're casket ready, because you see the face doesn't look flat. And now certain things are coming out at you and other things are recending. So it looks really, it's a very beautiful process if it's done correctly.
How do you know when someone is wearing too much makeup?
I think too much makeup is really dependent upon the person, because I'm a true artist. So everyone is so different. I think that you definitely need to be mindful if you are in the office space, not to be offensive. And I definitely like to do what everyone else is doing in Rome.
Or distracting.
Yeah, it could be distracting. Like, you know, women who wear lashes that are way too long. And I always call them evening lashes versus office lashes. So you have to kind of know the difference in that. Typically, if someone says, oh, I like your lashes, usually they might be too long, because people know. So you want to be sure there are lots of great lashes. The 747M, 747S. These are every lash brand, whether you go from Ardell to Sosi, whoever, at the beauty supply store, even at Sally's or wherever you go, typically they go by numbers, and usually those numbers are universal. It's almost like when you wear tracks, or you wear hair, you got 1B, 2, number 4. You know, we go by colors. African American women that are listening, they know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So yeah, when you wear extensions in your hair, usually they go by numbers. So we know universally, you know, what number that is. Oh, you got a 1B in your hair, you got a number 2. Same goes true for lashes. They go by numbers, and that's like length and width. So the 747s typically work for the office. If you're going out for the evening, I like something a little more dramatic, but I definitely say stay away from super long lashes, super bright lips. Bright lips are fun for the weekend, but at the office, I think that, or even in school, it depends on what kind of school you attend. But like if you're in college, I mean, I'm sure your professors, it doesn't really matter as long as you're turning in your work.
Yeah, that's
but, you know, but if you're wearing bright pinks, hot pinks, you know, coral oranges and things like that, that could be offensive. A lot of my clients, believe it, I have a fun line for teens. Like I have blue lipstick and I have bright purple lipstick, and they're a lot of fun, and they're liquid mattes, and they're really on trend right now. And so in the wintertime, I usually get a lot of my daring clients to wear those colors, but those are colors for the weekend and evenings. You don't wear those colors to work. Women, please don't wear blue lipstick to work. Don't wear Wink and Pout blue lipstick to work.
Now you said you do have makeup for teens. When would you recommend that a teenager start experimenting with makeup? And what is too young?
I think that's a conversation you need to have with your parents or your guardian, because I definitely am going to be the bad guy in that, because I love makeup on girls. I think that little girls, if you show them how to put on a little lip gloss, and you know, those are girly things that I advocate, because I don't want them to be afraid of it. I don't want them to be foreign to it. I like for young girls to know what things are. I'm definitely not a component for long lashes on a young girl, but little lip gloss, I don't have a problem with that, but that's a conversation that you definitely want to have with your parents. I think a great way or a great start, if you are a mom and you're listening in and you have a teenage girl who's transitioning into high school for, you know, this coming year, I think eyeliners are great, fun colors, blue, green, turquoise. Like, I have on a turquoise liner. This is a lot of fun. The cat eye is really cool. So I think doing a little bit of, you know, turquoise or blue liner, a little bit of mascara, and a little bit of lip gloss. You don't have to do all the foundation and all that stuff. Your skin is so young. You don't have to do all that. Maybe getting their brows groomed, just little things. And it's a great way, because these girls are watching YouTube and they call me all the time. Miss Kim, I want to know how to do this and I want to know how to do that. And so I want the moms to kind of get in. It's a great way for them to bond. Just at the salon, let's get our brows done. You know, just little things.
Dr. Raghu, and this is actually for both of you, but I'll start with Dr. Raghu. We've spoken a lot about dealing with some skin imperfections and the like, and also putting on the makeup. What do you recommend to clean the skin? Because, and this is why I ask, we are always bombarded with, you know, commercials from Dove to 99 and 44 100% ivory to makeup removal creams and Noxzema and all of these things. And for me, oatmeal soap, and I'm good. Now, I don't wear makeup, but what do you recommend?
I think it's similar to what Kim said before. It kind of depends on what type of skin you have, you know? So one, if you're wearing a lot of makeup, like let's say you just came from a party or you just came from a wedding, then you're going to need something that lathers so it can remove all the makeup, but you can also use like a makeup cleansing wipe. For people who have acne, my favorite over-the-counter acne face wash are the ones that contain benzoyl peroxide, but you still want to make sure you have something for sensitive skin. For people whose skin is very dry and it dries out very easily, Dove soap is great, or you want to use some of the not harsh or non-lathering cleansers, like Cetaphil, some of the cream cleansers. You don't have to have a squeaky. That squeaky clean sensation is actually developed by like the soap companies, because over time, like people felt like if their skin was squeaky clean, it was cleaner. But you actually don't need that squeaky clean feel. You can cleanse your skin and leave a little bit of a moisturizing film on it, and it can still be very clean. But certainly, I think, you know, it depends on what you're going for, but you definitely do not want to use anything harsh.
Kim, your thoughts?
I totally agree with her. I don't have anything. We have totally agreed on everything, and I don't want to, you know.
We didn't plan this.
But what do you wash your face with?
I actually wash my face with several things, and it depends on the time of year. It depends on where I've been, how much makeup I'm wearing, but I definitely always wash my face twice a day. That's a must. And if for those of you who don't wash your face at night, I encourage you to please do so, whether you wear makeup or not. Because, again, what we talked about earlier is those free radicals that harbor the air that lay on your skin. And what is going to happen is you'll find yourself with breakouts that you did not ask for and that you did not deserve. Clean your phones off. A lot of times if you hold those phones to your ear, hopefully we all have earpieces. I'm guilty that I don't have one because they hurt my ears, but I wipe my phone off often. You would be surprised how much bacteria lays on your phones, even your phone at work. So just make sure, because you'll find you'll have a trail of acne right in the area where your phone lays. So I definitely agree with her in using products that are going to basically, like she said, if I'm wearing a lot of makeup, I start off with the makeup wipes. I keep them by the bedside in case I fall asleep watching TV. Then I've already got that first layer off. I'll get up in the middle of the night and say, oh my God, I got to wash my face. But I definitely use things that lather. I use Burt's Bee. I use Oasis. I use so many different things. It just depends. I am such a product junkie. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I use everything I can think of to make sure my skin looks its best.
And here's something else about that. And I was just kind of thinking back to my earlier television career. As a morning anchor, I wore MAC products. And I wore a cream foundation, and I dusted my face to give it an overall dry look. But here's the issue that I always had in washing my face. When I got home, I would wash my face two or three times, whether it was with a makeup remover and oatmeal soap or what have you. And invariably, I would come out of the shower or lift my face up from the sink, and I would take a white washcloth, and I would still have makeup on my face. What do I just have makeup retentive pores, or why is
so
that?
A couple of things. One, like if you're wearing any type of waterproof makeup, that's going to make it difficult. But that's why a lathering soap is important. That's really going to basically what soap does is it creates an attraction between oil and water. And then it allows it to be more easily washed off of the skin. So something like Noxzema, which is not a traditional soap, which is meant to leave a little bit, you know, Noxzema actually stands for knockout eczema. So it was actually a cleanser that was meant for people with very dry skin who wanted to have a moisturizer on their skin. So if you're using something like that, you're still going to have makeup on. There's so many amazing cleansers available now that, like, to be honest, I don't even know if it's worth it giving specific brands because there are just so many.
There's so many.
And you just have to kind of, like, play around with it. But definitely something that lathers. I love Neutrogena has an ultra gentle cleanser that's very similar to Cetaphil cleanser that I think works great.
And I like to use makeup remover specifically for the eye area, one specifically to remove the makeup, because that's going to help to break down that makeup. And you may have to do it two or three times. I mean, we all do, even professionals. I have to wash my face two or three times. I start off with the wipes, the face wipes for makeup removal. And then I go into the cleansers that have lather. And then I go back and I oftentimes will do a toner, because a toner is going to help to neutralize the skin and then remove the excess dirt and makeup that your cleanser didn't remove. So you'll have that extra, you know, that extra care to it. And then, of course, I moisturize.
Well, I think that's a good place to end this conversation. I learned quite a bit today about skin and makeup, whether I wanted to or not. Dr. Crystal Agoo and Kim Lee, thank you both so very much. I appreciate it. And stay pretty and clean, ladies,
thank you.
In this hot and humid weather. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, July 14th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me at hfisher@whur.com, on Facebook at Harold Fisher WHUR, or Twitter at Daily Drum WHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM.